Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Saturday, May 18th, 2013, including our new channel on XM, by the way, 244, America's Talk. This is episode 979. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used Samsung Galaxy, iPhone, or other smartphone is worth at gazelle.com. And by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, visit Stamps.com now. Click the microphone and enter Tech Guy. And by 99 Designs, the world's largest online graphic design marketplace. 99 Designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of over 200,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/techguy to receive a free design consultation. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy, and it's time to talk computers and the internet and cell phones and home theater, digital photography, anything with a chip in it. This is the technology show on your radio station. That means if you've got a question, if you want to know something, if you're thinking about buying, I love to spend your money wisely. Very important. Wisely. 888-827-5536 is the number, but you don't have to remember that. You just have to remember 8888-ASK-LEO. See how easy that is? 8888-ASK-LEO. Heather H. is on the other end. She'll answer the phone. She'll say, hello. Do you say, hello, Tech Guy Show?
Oh, gosh. Wouldn't that be horrible? That sounds like Lloyd Lindsay. You know?
Hello, Tech Guy Show. So you just say, hey, what do you want?
No. Oh, I do say, you know,
Tech Guy Show. You got to say Tech Guy.
And right. Then I come back and I go, what's your question for Leo Laporte? Right. The callers can mimic me to you, I guess. They'll tell you what I'm actually doing over here.
They'll tell me the truth. 8888-ASK-LEO. Ask Heather. And she'll get you on the air here. We can talk about what's been going on with Google, because, of course, the Google I.O. conference, which I'm tempted to pronounce Googlio. Googlio. The Googlio conference was this week, and they had a 3.5-hour keynote. Not exactly Jobsian, although, you know, because Apple's so famous for how Steve... There have been books written about Steve Jobs' presentation style, and my friend, I want to say Carmen Miranda, but no. anyway, he wrote a book called The Presentation Secrets of Steve Jobs. Carmen, I can't remember his last name now. This was not it wasn't, because as kind of a surprise, the CEO of Google, the Google keynotes are generally done by, you know, in a team style. In case you don't know, in the tech industry, the keynote is like kind of not the big thing, where stuff gets announced, where a company positions itself, it lets the press and, in the case of this conference, developers, which are a very important audience, also know what they're up to and what they'd like and what they're hoping for. So it's a very important yearly ritual, and all the big tech companies do it. Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference is coming up a little less than a month from now. Microsoft has several, but their big Build conference is also about a month from now. That's going to be one where they'll talk about the future of Windows 8 and so forth. These are important events. In fact, even Yahoo has an event on Monday. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But let me, the thing that was interesting about Google I.O., besides the fact that it went on and on and on, they said instead of doing three, which they've done in the past, three keynotes, we're going to do one. We're going to get everything in there. They did not announce new hardware. Did not. People thought maybe there'd be a new Google phone from Motorola, which they bought a couple of years ago. Nope. In fact, the only phone they talked about at all was the Samsung Galaxy S4. They said, we're going to start selling that in a what they call a Nexus version, a pure Google experience. That is, none of the Samsung stuff on it. $649. Yikes. unlocked. They didn't, you know, last year they announced the Google Q streaming media thing, which died on the vine. They announced tablets. No, not even a new Nexus tablet. Really, kind of a, from a hardware point of view, they barely talked about Google Glass. It was mostly about software, but they had a lot of software to talk about, including a redesign of Google Plus. They're so committed to this platform, Google Plus. They want it to be, well, kind of want it to be the new Facebook, but really it's more than that. Google Plus is really about getting you to tell Google stuff, not so they can spy on you. I think that's kind of an uncharitable interpretation, but more so that they can give you and your friends better search results. You know, for instance, if you talk about places you've eaten and stuff you like, and they kind of gather that information and they can give you better information. And your friends, too, you can do searches, you know, and they'll say, well, your friends really liked this place. They also have this thing called Google Now, which is getting smarter and smarter. In fact, they've added a few features to Google Now. That's on your smartphone. Well, let me turn out. Now my smartphone just smartly started playing Madonna. Hold on. turned on my smartphone. And on Google Now, it'll pull up cards based on things that you've indicated you're interested in. The idea, Google's idea, which I think is quite interesting, is to give you the information you want before you know you want it or before you even ask for it, just to have it there available for you. So the idea of Google Now is, hey, we know what you want. So here I'm looking at my Google Now cards, and it shows me that it's time for the radio show, baseball game scores, Giants lost last night, temperature in Petaluma, nearby events in the small town. I've been searching for information about this phone, the HTC One, so they actually put together, this is something new, an HTC One research card, and there's even a button that says continue researching. So I guess I can get them to do more. Are you researching the HTC One, it asks? Yes. So it's going to, says some of your recent searches involve HTC One. Are you researching this? Yes. So now it's going to give me more information, you see? That's the kind of thing Google wants to do. But in order to do that, you need to give them the information in the first place through the searches, through Google+. So they updated Google+. Some people complained about it. Any change, you know, you're going to get people complaining about it. But I kind of like the new Google+. The other thing they introduced is a new kind of chat platform. It's Hangouts, which is their video chat platform. But they're adding text, permanent text chat. I think they're going to add SMS. It's going to compete with Facebook Messenger and Apple Messages. So that'll be interesting. The most interesting thing to me was that Larry Page, the CEO of Google, who has been silent, literally, for a few years, came onto stage and spoke. And that's really what, these events are all about is setting the stage for what we're up to, you know, letting the public and the news and developers know here's what we are up to. And I felt like this Google speech was the first time Google's been for 10 years working on this stuff, building the foundation, and now the edifice is starting to show how all this stuff connects in an interesting way. Glass and Now and Plus and Hangouts is all starting to fill in the details. And so Larry Page, who's had vocal cord paralysis since he was a kid and hasn't been able to talk for a couple of years, came on stage. Voice kind of weak. Just because the weak voice, this is not, by the way, in any way a life-threatening illness, but it reminded you a little of Steve Jobs, you know, being ill and coming on stage and still talking about his company's vision and what he wanted for the future. Larry Page, what he wanted for the future is to everybody to get along. He said, I don't like this negativity. I like just this. Everybody can win here. We just all create great new products. We don't have to sue each other. We don't have to do any competitive moves. Meanwhile, Google's doing all the scenes, all these anti-competitive moves. He said, "Let's make new stuff." And most of what Google does, Google Plus is, you know, kind of response to Facebook. Android's a response to the iPhone. You know, a lot of what Google does is really not that new and innovative. So you had to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. But I didn't disagree with him. I agree. You know, we should all be less negative, even you, Google. We should all focus on making new stuff and not suing people. We should all focus, all the tech industry should focus on doing better for its customers. That's us, you and me. So I didn't disagree with him. I just thought maybe it'd be nice if he kind of lived up to his ideals a little closer. somebody online said Paige wants to go away to an island, a world where Google gets to do whatever it wants and everybody else has to go along. That's kind of what he was asking for, wasn't it? And yet, I think he's right. I think the industry does spend a lot of time worrying about what the other guy's doing instead of just, let's make something really great. Worry about the customers more. I look at Microsoft with Windows, and I think they didn't think about us, did they? Windows 8, they didn't think about what we were interested in. They just said, this is where we're going. We're going to tablets. And now Dell, did you see this? Dell's in such financial trouble because nobody's buying computers. Dell says it's tablets. It's not tablets. It's not tablets. It's Windows 8. Nobody wants it. 8888 Ask Leah. Let's talk tech. Leah Laporte, the tech guy.
I want it all. I want it all. And I want it now.
The Larry Page theme song. Poor Larry. I felt he was sincere and really was saying, well, let's all get along. But he hasn't really made the company do that, you know. It really, I think a lot of people thought, yeah, he's saying, let's all get along so we can win. We will let Google be number one, right? 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number. I'd love to hear from you. What you think, your questions, your comments. Let me check with Heather and see who's first on the show today. Heather, what do you got for me?
Definitely David. He was the first caller out of the box, and he's hitting it right down the middle at you.
He's hitting it, is this a softball or a hardball?
You'll just love it. It's a tickle your fancy ball. Whoops.
Dave, I don't know if you can say that on the radio. David, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, David.
Hi there, Leo. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Excellent, excellent.
Nova Scotia. Hello, Nova Scotia.
Yes, hello, and hello to Paloma, all the way up there, I guess.
Yeah. Yep. What's the weather like now in Nova Scotia?
It's raining. It's kind of cool. It's about 55 degrees.
Yeah. It's pleasant here. We're in the 70s. It's American Graffiti's Day in Petaluma, which means we got a lot of old cars driving around in circles. It's very picturesque.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah,
I hear it's a party town.
Apparently, Heather says every time she comes up here, there's something going on. It's true. What can I do for you, David?
Okay, I have a Roku player, which I have to tell you, I almost just chucked it at your door and forgot about it. But, hey, I want to sort of do what you do with what you're doing with Twit right now. I'm watching you actually via the Roku player, oddly enough. And so I want to stream the audio and the video. Like you do.
Right. Yeah, thanks to Craig Mullaney for writing a Roku app, Houdini7 in our chat room of Shift Key Software, because that's how you do it on the Roku. You can't just... Well, no, I take it back, because I believe there is a Ustream app, is there not, for the Roku?
Okay, but I want to make my own channel. You understand?
Then you have to write it yourself. Houdini7 wrote it as an app, and you know, I don't know if he's in the chat room, but I would ask him exactly what it is. My sense is that it's mostly kind of JavaScript and CSS, you know, HTML5.
Okay, but really, what I'm looking for, is the right XML file to stream live audio or live video. I really don't care which. I really prefer the audio, but I just want to do the live part. I saw how to upload my own recordings, but I don't want to do that.
No, and there's got to be a way to do it. And maybe Houdini7 can fill us in on that at some point, because I don't know the details. This is true of, and we should explain, the Roku is a little tiny hockey puck-sized box that you attach to your TV, and then it connects your TV to the internet. And it has on it, you know, many of the things, you know, that you would want to stream from the internet, Netflix, for instance, HBO Go, you know, that kind of thing. One of the neat things is it has a channel store, and you can add channels. There's on the web, there's a third party directory of Roku channels. I think it's roku-channels.com that lists literally thousands of Roku channels. Some of them are not in the channel directory. You just have to know what to type in or search for. And so that's great. So really what the Roku is in simple is something that puts your TV on the internet. And since there's so much content on the internet, that's a great thing. Most TVs now, if you buy a new one in the last year or so, have their own internet connection and their own, they call them smart TVs because they have apps They have channels on them. They're just like a Roku's built in. Of course, there's the Apple TV. There are many companies that make little boxes like this that give you internet connectivity. Each of them has to have an app written for it. And I know this because that's what we have to do to get my podcast network on them. You know, if I have chosen in my life to be, you know, besides doing the radio show, to be an internet broadcaster. I'm excited about the idea of doing the things that I've done for years on radio, traditional radio and television, with internet distribution only. That means it can get into every country of the world, including, obviously, Canada. That it can, you know, reach a huge audience without spending all the money that you have to spend to either build a radio tower or to get your channel on a cable system. That's very, very expensive. And I learned this lesson at Tech TV, which was a cable channel that I was a part of the launch of back in 1998. Just celebrated our 15th anniversary. And from 1998 to 2004, Tech TV was an independent cable channel. And I found out that, you know, the cost of doing this is $50 to $100 million a year. Tech TV lost its owner, Paul Allen, of the Microsoft founder, Paul Allen, well over $300 million. Lost it in 6 years. And that's not unusual because you not only have to build the infrastructure, that's fairly cheap, but you also have to, most of that money goes to cable, goes to getting on cable. So I thought, what if I built the infrastructure, did the shows, but instead of using cable, who needs cable? We just do it via the internet, right? So I've built a 10,000 square foot video studio here. If you're watching online at twit.tv, you're seeing part of it. But there's a lot. We do 25 shows. You know, we're growing rapidly to become a kind of a television channel that's not like Tech TV, but not on the not on cable, but on the internet. And there's some real advantages. There are also real disadvantages. And one of the disadvantages is a little harder to watch. You got to go to your browser, watch it on your computer. I'd like to be on your big screen TV, just like Tech TV was. And that's where Roku and smart TVs and Apple and all these things are great advantages for us. If we can make the apps, we can make it easy enough so that people can just turn us on in the same way you'd turn on CNN. That's the goal, right? So you just, you know, turn on your TV and flip to that channel. And there it is. And I think that we're not alone. I mean, that's why you see HBO Go and CNN. CBS and ABC just announced they're going to stream local broadcasting live on their apps on iOS. So more and more we're moving to this world where you could be on cable, and that's kind of where you'd like to be if you want the most people to see you. But you can also be on the internet. Actually, more people could see you on the internet, right? Everybody has internet. There are, you know, I just saw the stat that there are 7.1 billion people in the world and 6 billion of them are connected in some way or the other, whether it's a smartphone or an internet connection or the library, whatever. That's a pretty big audience compared to the, you know, at its height, Tech TV, and we were happy about this, could get whereas in 44 million homes in the U.S., and I think we've made some deals internationally, so we've kind of had some scant coverage there. That was a big deal. It cost, as I said, hundreds of millions of dollars, and most of that goes to distribution. So that's why the internet is, I think, the future of broadcast, of content, music, video, movies, television. It's all moving, and that's where Roku is so great. And you're right, David, if you want to do a channel, you'd be crazy to say, I want to do a cable channel. Nobody does that anymore. You'd start an internet channel, right? The other advantage of it is because it is more economical that you can have very narrow slices. You could do a knitting channel. You couldn't do a knit. You'd be hard-pressed to make money as a knitting channel on cable. I don't think there's $50 million a year in knitting. But there might be, you know, I don't know what our... We have a fairly expensive operation compared to what most people would do. And I would say our... I just was looking at the performance. I think it costs us several million dollars a year to run this. But we've always been profitable because we never did more than it cost. We only could do what we could pay for. So I go for it, David. But writing the app, that's a little tricky. I'm sure if you search the internet, you could find the details for how to create an app for Roku. And then you got to do Samsung and Vizio and Panasonic and on and on and on. Hey, Scott Wilkinson is here, our home theater guru. He's editor-in-chief at the AVS Forum, avsforum.com, and does a home theater podcast for us called The Home Theater Geek. Hey, Scott.
That's me.
More and more you're going to have to talk when it comes to home theater. Of course, usually you focus on DVD, Blu-ray, you know, movies and high-quality inputs. But more and more we're talking about stuff on the internet. And
absolutely, streaming is becoming so important.
Yeah.
And I do talk about it on the show quite a bit, and we also write about it on AVS Forum quite a bit. I've got a, in fact, a couple weeks ago, I had on one of my primary writers on AVS Forum, Mark Henninger, who's doing a great project comparing the quality of the different video streaming services. So Vudu, iTunes, he's looking at the very highest quality you can get and seeing if it's even capable of approaching Blu-ray quality now. And he says in some cases it is. It's not equal to Blu-ray.
Right.
Blu-ray is still the best that you can get. But streaming is so convenient, and we really want to see if streaming can get anywhere close to Blu-ray.
And it's good enough for most people.
For most people under most conditions.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of the AVS Forum members, you know, are serious geeks, and they really want the highest possible quality.
And buy
a Blu-ray. It's really easy to do. But I talk to so many people just out in my life, and they say, man, streaming is so convenient. I just, you know, go to iTunes or I go to Vudu, and I can find what I want, and I can start streaming it. People with kids, it's great, you know, because kids, of course, watch things over and over and over and over again. So it offers them an opportunity to just, you know, turn the thing on, and the kids can watch it as often as they want.
It's not that these are not at 720p or even in some cases 1080p. It's how much they compress them in order to get that full resolution through your narrow pipe. Your internet connection. And heavy compression, even if it's a 1080p original source signal and it comes out the other end of 1080p, heavy compression can make it really be soft and smeary. In fact, that article that that series you talked about, everybody should just, because you have comparison pictures and so forth, and you can really see.
Yeah, Mark's a professional photographer, so he actually gets photos of these different things and puts them right next to each other and says, now take a look
at what you're giving
up. You can see this. Yeah, see what you're giving up.
In many cases, you know, I just finished a book called Pictures at a Revolution. It's a history of the five Academy Award Best Picture nominees of 1968. And so as part of reading the book, I wanted to watch all five of them.
Great idea.
But I'm not going to buy the Blu-rays because I'm, you know. So the question is, can I find all five of these? And yes, whether it's Netflix, most of them are on Amazon streaming. $2.99, $3.99 for HD. So last night I watched Bonnie and Clyde, for instance, and I paid $3.99 for the streaming HD. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that looked just as good as a DVD, probably better than a DVD.
Probably better than a DVD, but not as good as a Blu-ray.
And I think that's for that movie, for me, for what I was looking for, I think that's fine. And it's certainly the ease of access is huge. I mean, this is the range of movies. Dr. Doolittle, Bonnie and Clyde, In the Heat of the Night, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. These are all the best picture nominees for 1968, and The Graduate. And by the way, all five of them, including Dr. Doolittle, they're all available for streaming, which means I could watch them without having to go to a movie store, which is also why our last movie store closed in Petaluma. You can't rent a DVD anymore. You can go to a Redbox, but that's only the latest.
I was going to say, do you have a Redbox there?
Yeah, but it wouldn't be Dr. Doolittle. I can promise you that.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll only be the most recent things. The other thing to keep in mind, though, is that you're watching movies from 1965, did you say?
68.
68. If they tried to put those on Blu-ray, and probably some of them are already, but the original elements of the movie, the original film that it came on, they'd have to scan that. It might not look so good. They'd have to do some restoration. It would be an expensive proposition.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously somebody did that or it wouldn't be streaming.
True.
It has to be digital to get the stream. But
the flaws would be hidden.
They're not as obvious, I'll tell you
that. They're not as obvious.
It looks pretty good to me.
Because there's such high compression, as you say.
Yeah. So part of this also is getting a high-speed bandwidth to everybody in the world.
In the world, yes. Yeah. And the U.S. is lagging far behind much of the rest of the world as far as last time I looked.
Oddly enough, you'd think. We invented the darn internet, but...
I know.
But no, we actually are, I can't remember what the ranking is, but not very.
I think. South Korea, last I looked, was number one. Per capita bandwidth was something like 20 megabits per second.
But it's government sponsored. It's government paid for. And that's the difference.
Also
our
true.
Government does not do it. And it's
true.
Left to private enterprise.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Ours is good enough, though. We can watch fairly good quality.
Yeah, we can.
You know.
As you said, you had fairly good quality there.
AVSforum.com. Is that the place?
That's the place, avsforum.com. We got a poll up there this week. Which do you prefer, tube-based or solid-state audio electronics?
Oh,
that's
come
a big
on.
Debate.
Is there,
that's a
are
big
there
debate.
People still going out there saying, I want
absolutely.
My tube amp?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Works there's best with my turntable.
You know, there is a strong turntable contingent out there, people who really like their vinyl. That's going to be another poll question coming up at some point. Yeah. Do you like vinyl? Or
Wait a minute, Heather. Heather's giving me the thumbs up sign. Heather, you don't have a turntable, do you? Do you have a turntable?
I have one sitting in the house currently.
Do you have records? Do you listen to records?
Well, I gave all my records to my ex, who's a DJ, but he will tell you. He's got the one
DJs
and two
need
and
records because they have to go...
Wiggy, wiggy, wiggy.
They got to go scratching. Yeah.
But and tube amps are beautiful.
They are beautiful.
I feel you.
I have a friend who has a beautiful Macintosh. Not MAC, but MCI. Yep. MTOSH. And it is. It glows. It's gorgeous. And I guess the sound is warmer. I think there's a lot of psychology. I think you're looking at it and going, those tubes look warm. That sound must be warm.
The sound must be warm. No, there is some mathematics to support that.
We have tubes. By the way, we're going to Hamvention in a few minutes where Bob Heil and Gordon West are at Hamvention. And I have an old, because I'm a ham, I have an old AM tube transmitter that we use
that
on the 75
big, giant
meter band.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm told, although I can't tell, that when I use the Gates Stereo Statesman and the old Heil Finn mic and that beautiful tube amp from 1961, that it's a richer, smoother sound.
Well, and that goes along with your richer, smoother voice, does it not?
I think you're nuts. Now, somebody, Midnight Rider in the chat room says vinyl's making a big comeback. What does that mean? I don't think so.
Oh, it is. There's no question about it. And it's a comeback amongst the young.
I'll believe it when I see a record store in Petaluma.
Well, yeah, that's going to be. Yeah, that's not likely.
No.
The end of this month, beginning of June, there's a big audio show. And there are audio shows all over the country. Six or seven major audiophile type shows. And at all of them, you can buy vinyl. And they play vinyl.
You know, Knox Harrington says he was at Target and he saw vinyl records at Target. Okay.
Yep.
I stand corrected. That's the benchmark. You see him at Target, at Walmart, somebody's buying them.
There's a market.
Somebody's buying them.
Holy cow.
That's exactly right.
Scott Wilkinson. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, end of this month is the home entertainment show at the Newport Beach Hilton and Atrium Hotels. I'm going to be there on Saturday, June 1st. So anybody who happens to drop by, find me and say hi.
Good. And I hope we'll get a report.
We will. Absolutely.
Scott Wilkinson, editor-in-chief at the AVS Forums, avsforum.com. He's also our home theater geek. His show every Monday on the Twit Network, twit.tv. You can't watch it on TV unless you have a Roku box or something.
But that's right.
You just turn your browser to twit.tv at about, 1 p.m. Pacific?
2 o'clock.
2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern time. Who's your guest on Monday?
Oh, Monday is Kevin Miller, one of the calibrators at the Value Electronics Flat Panel Shootout, which was last weekend. They put up a bunch of flat panels and compared them side by side and under controlled conditions, all calibrated. Really interesting results.
You want to know who won? Tune in Monday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, twit.tv. Thank you, Scott.
You bet.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Me and Heather, we're just sitting here. We're taking calls. But look, there's a couple of guys in Dayton, Ohio who want to get on the air here. From Hamvention, which is the annual gathering of the amateur radio enthusiasts. It's the host of our Ham Nation show, from left to right on your radio. Gordon West. Hey, Gordo.
Hey, hi, Leo. How are you doing?
I'm doing
great.
Fun. The host of Smoke and Solder, George Thomas, in his lab coat.
Hi, Leo.
Hey, George. And, of course,
it's mighty hot in here.
Yeah. Put down the soldering iron. It'll cool off. And Bob Heil, of course. The host of Ham Nation. Hey, Bob, how are you?
We are absolutely just incredibly mesmerized about what's happening this weekend. And, Leo, you would be so proud because I can't tell you how many hundreds and hundreds of guys have come up that have gotten their license because of Leo Laporte.
Gee, Leo ought to get you on the airwaves. I'm the worst ham ever.
Well, you're a busy guy, but we're so proud of what you've done. You have brought over 1,000 people that we know of into this hobby.
That's
because
great.
It is such a fabulous hobby. I just had a guy from Finland in here that had been watching Twit for years and heard you one time, got onto Ham Nation.
That's
he got
great.
His license.
Well, really credit to
Gordo,
you guys.
You got Gordo's got a couple of things he wants to open with here. Gordo's the master of minding the crowd, and there's hundreds of guys in front of us. Gordo?
And, Leo, you have so many followers on the Twit Network. They all wanted to give their call sign. So radio listeners see which call sign of ham radio operators you can hear well. 1, 2, 3.
Talk about a pileup.
So there it is.
That's what it sounds like when you're doing DX contesting, ladies and gentlemen. Exactly like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's
we
wonderful.
We always have so much. We want to also tell you that there was a very special technical award done last night at the Hamvention, and George Thomas is our recipient of this Hamvention Special Award, and he's very deserving of it. Congratulations on that award.
Oh, thank you, Bob. You know,
hey.
That's great. That's
I
great.
Couldn't have done it without all these other guys here. I mean, you know, we have such a fun time, and for some reason, people like to watch this stuff, Bob.
That's great. And, Leo, my wonderful people at work at Heil Sound did this shirt, if you can see it.
For the 100th this episode. Shirt, look at that. That was...
episode.
That's great.
And if you want to see the rest of it, wait till you see this
He's
one.
He's taking off his jacket, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, that's nice. It's got that fin mic, the blue fin mic that lights up. I love How do you do that? That's pretty cool. A t-shirt that lights up.
One of my master little guys, Steven and Jerry, they put this together. But we appreciate you letting us be on the program a little bit, telling the world about how important ham radio is in disasters and emergencies, as well as just having a good time. But we are definitely having a good time, and almost, as I said, every 2 or 3 minutes, somebody's up here talking about
so
Leo Laporte and the Twit Network.
Well, you know, hams really invented a lot of the technology we use today, including packet radio, which is a fundamental technology used not only on the Internet, but on your smartphones. They, of course, are the lifelines in cases of emergency like Hurricane Katrina. So we're very grateful to hams, and it's really good to promote this hobby. It's a wonderful hobby, and I think young kids, it's a great way to get into electronics, but it's also a very important hobby. So, hey, one more question, though. You guys, you look great. You're all wearing black tie, and I really appreciate that. But I know Gordon is not a fan, really, of the long pants. Tell me he's not wearing shorts under his tuxedo.
No, Leo. We had to put long pants on. But tomorrow, when we're off the air, there will be shorts.
Okay. Hey, really great to have you guys. Ham Nation is heard on the Twit Network. Just go to twit.tv/HN to find out more and listen to past episodes. And you can watch live, of course, every what day are you guys on? You're on Thursdays, is it?
We're on Wednesdays.
I'll remember Wednesday. One of these days.
Yes.
Wednesdays.
And we're hoping that on the 29th, when we actually do 100. The 100th broadcast, 100 shows, Leo, we want you to be there for a few minutes. Joe Walsh is going to join us on that show for a minute or two. And we're very excited because that's going to be a very special thing.
Yeah.
Can you remember 100 shows ago, you sat down with... You sat down with me and said, you need to do this. And I said, I don't have time. We found time, and look what happened.
That's
the whole
neat.
Family
that's
of ham nation.
Yeah.
Thank
Joe,
you so much,
That's the
Leo.
Joe Walsh, Thanks. Folks, of the Eagles, who is a ham, and also did the theme song for Ham Nation, which, if you listen carefully, encodes. What is the dot, 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 dit, dit, dit in the Ham Nation theme song? What is that saying? Is it saying
well,
ham, H-A-M?
Yes. It's called ham. And if you listen to it really closely, you'll hear H-A-M throughout. And that was when I asked him to do the theme. I said, just think of the four letters. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's the rhythm of the song Ham Nation.
And he wrote it is. It's really great. Hey, thank you, guys. Have a great time. And thanks to the folks at Exceed Satellite. There isn't a direct connection into the Hamvention, so Exceed set up a satellite for us. And, boy, the quality... not just of the audio, but for those of you watching at home as well, the video is spectacular. And
it's
that's through a satellite. That's unbelievable.
One of the things you can do is go to W5KUB.com. And he is hooked up to this same satellite system, and he's webcamming the whole event. So after we get off the air, look at W5KUB.com, and you can see all kinds of things going on at the Dayton
Hamvention. You can watch the whole Hamvention live. That is awesome.
He's running all around here doing
that
stuff.
Is awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bob Heil,
Thank you, Leo.
Gordon West, George Thomas. Congratulations on your award, George. That's fantastic. And have a great Hamvention. We'll talk to you guys sooner than next year. In a couple of weeks on your 100th
Roger
episode.
That.
All right. Take care.
7-3, Leo.
7-3. This is W6TWT. Signing off.
73!
I love hams. I got to tell you, they are a great bunch of people. 7-3, for those of you who are not amateur radio enthusiasts, means best regards from the entire ham universe. 7-3. It's kind of neat. Oh, we just brought W5KUB down. Whoops. Oh, dear. One of the reasons I think a lot of people became hams after I did is I think they said, gee, if Leo could do it, it can't be that hard. And it isn't that hard. It's not. Gordon does some great training materials. I just got his book, and then he has a CD series. So you can listen to the CD series at GordonWestRadioSchool.com or W5YI.org. And you listen to those, and I took the test, and I got technician, and I got the next class up general. One of these days, I'll get the extra. It's pretty cool, and it's a lot of fun, and you don't need to know Morse code anymore, which makes it a lot easier. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number if you want to call in. Talk high tech. Let's get to our next call of the day. Sorry to hold you on so long. It's, should I go to, Heather, should I go to Jim? Jim in Newport Beach?
Yeah, let's go, Jim.
Hi, Jim. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. How you doing today?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for calling.
Well, you're looking good. I'm watching you on Twit TV.
Thank you.
So, hey, I want to know, is there a remote control that I can afford for my TV that's high-end, but because my wife cannot stand having three remotes.
You know, this is a universal complaint, and I'm in the same boat. I have, we're geeks. We got an armchair and five remotes on the arm of the armchair, if you're lucky. One of them's always under the cushion. That's the only problem. And same problem. People say, "Oh, I can't watch your TV. I don't know how to get it on." So I tried some universal remotes. The Harmony One is probably the king of the universal remotes. Logitech makes it. It's about $250. Radio Shack sells a lot of people. It's what we call a programmable universal remote, but it has some additional benefits. It has a big LCD screen on it, and you can program it very easily because it already knows everything about what hardware is out there. They actually just came out with a sequel to that, which is the Harmony Ultimate. That might be a little bit more expensive, but it has a big LCD screen. And if it's something like, I want to watch Desperate Housewives, you can have a button on there. You press it, and it knows, turn on the TV, turn on the satellite dish, turn on the satellite box, turn on the AV receiver, go to this channel, it'll do the whole thing for you. So they've replaced the Harmony One with the Harmony Ultimate. That probably is even better. Logitech seems to be unhappy with the Harmony brand. They want to sell it off, so I don't know what the future is. Let's talk a little more when we come back about remotes. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, a good day to you. Leo Laporte here, the tech guy, and it's time to talk about computers, the internet, cell phones and camcorders, MP3s, home theater, all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo, that's the number. Before we broke for the news at the top of the hour, you're talking about remote controls. It's such a problem. Do you have on your arm of your sofa or on your coffee table, how many remotes do you have? Just one?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
two.
Yeah, see, that's because you're a girl.
Oh.
There's something about guys, the more the better.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
You guys are the same with everything, huh? More cars, more computers.
The more the better. Yeah, my ex-wife could not. She still calls me and says, I want to watch Downton Abbey. What do I press? And I actually printed up a guide. I mean, it's just hopeless. So I did buy this Harmony One that we were talking about. Now discontinued. As I look through the Harmony site, it looks like the new Harmony is the Harmony Ultimate. Same kind of idea. It's a remote control. You have to charge it. I mean, it has a little charge station. This is $349. So it's even more expensive, frankly, than the Harmony One. But the idea is that Harmony, they've been making these for a long time, these universal remotes, and they have a database online where they know every kind of possible home theater gear, AV receivers, televisions, satellite and cable boxes, DVD players, Blu-ray players, everything. It's in the database. So it's really simple. You configure the thing. Remember in the old days with a programmable remote, you'd put you'd aim your old remote at the programmable remote and you'd be pushing buttons or you'd have to enter in a long code. None of that anymore. You go to the Harmony, when you get your Harmony One or the Ultimate, you go to the Harmony website, you log in and you just say, this is what I have. This is how it's hooked up. This is who my cable provider is or my satellite provider. So it even has your TV guide in it. And then it's got a big LCD screen that you can have programmable buttons. And you could say, hey, I want to watch Downton Abbey. Push this button. But this is the problem. And it will depend on which TV, which hardware you have. But I gave up on the Harmony One because it never worked because your television has to be in a known state. Basically, everything has to be off. Then you push the button on the Harmony One and it turns everything on. The problem with my TV and a lot of TVs is that's a toggle. So the signal it sends doesn't say on or off. It just says switch state. If you're on, turn it off. If you're off, turn it on. So I'd actually have to get up, turn everything off, or get the remotes, turn everything off, and then I could push the button on the Harmony One and it'd turn everything on. It was so impractical, and I just gave up. Now, what I notice is that the new Galaxy S4 and the HTC One, and I would guess all smartphones going forward have in the on-off switch on the phone, they have an infrared transmitter. And you can put software on these things to change the channel. These are the newer Android smartphones are, in fact, remotes and pretty smart. I'm looking at the Harmony Ultimate. It gives that capability to an iPhone as well. They have apps. Now, the iPhone doesn't have an infrared transmitter, but what you'll use is the app will speak to the Harmony, and then the Harmony will speak to the TV. So maybe I'll give this one a chance. You know, I'll give it a try. It looks pretty much like the Harmony One. And these are the best, remotes. I mean, it's not its fault. I like this. This Harmony controls my lights, too. I use the Philips Hue lights. These lights, it seemed gimmicky to me at first. They're LED light bulbs, and they're not cheap. The starter kit, $200, is three light bulbs and a base station. And then additional light bulbs are $60. But because they're LED, they use a lot less power, and they don't, burn out for years. I can't remember how many hours. I think it's 10,000 hours. It's a long, long time. So it's kind of the last light bulb you'll ever buy. And I ended up buying not only the base station, but five more. I have a total of nine. So I guess that's six more. Nine Hue lights. But they're great because you can set them. They're RGB. That means they can be any color. White, blue, green, any color in the rainbow. And you can control them with your smartphone, Android or iPhone. You can even take a picture and then say, let's say you loved the light and when you were in Greece. You loved the light. It was beautiful light. How did they get that light? Take a picture. And then you can literally say, that's the color I want you to be. And each bulb is separate. So you could say, you be the beach, you be the sand, you be the water, you be the sun, and make you. It's awesome. It's totally awesome.
That sounds killer.
And, okay, get ready for this. So they also have an API on these. These are the Philips Hue, H-U-E. I understand it's pricey. But they have an API. There's software that can, for instance, as you listen to music, pulse the light bulbs like a disco to the beat of the music. And now, they just released this last week, You can program them. So there's a website called If This Then That, IFTTT.com. And you can, for free, you can say, when the sun comes up, turn on the light. Or when the sun goes down, turn on the light. Or when it's 7 a.m., slowly ramp the lights up from a sunrise to bright midday sun over a 15-minute period. It's a nice way to wake up.
That's great.
Kind of crazy, these hues. Anyway, apparently, I'm just seeing this, this Logitech Ultimate also will control your lights. So now you've got, you know, the Orson Welles Theater in your living room. Press the button, the lights dim. The, I don't know about the curtain, but you can get the curtain. Crestron makes curtain openers that are remote. Curtain opens. TV comes on. See, you can make a home theater. That's the whole idea here. It's $350 for the remote. It's a little pricey, but I'm gonna order one and I'll give you a review. I had to give up on the Harmony one. It just didn't do what I wanted it to do. Big nerd in our chat room says, I want to be woken up with lightning flashes. It'll do that. It's kind of, I'm not, oh, there's one, there's a picture of the moon and you can have moonlight and it's the color of moonlight and you can make it brighter, dim, it dims and everything. It's pretty amazing. 8888 Ask Leo. So that's the answer to the remote control. There really is only, you can go to Radio Shack and they have programmable remotes and they're pretty good. But if you want one that will be smart enough to say, I want to watch this show, push one button, and it knows exactly what needs to be on and off, and we'll do it all. That's my recommendation. The rumors are that Logitech wants to sell that Harmony unit, but they still own it. And these are the killer. These are the killer app, if you ask me. Lynn is in Los Angeles, our next call of the day. Hi, Lynn. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. I'm probably the most geek challenged of all of the grandmothers who listens to you. I'm 5 years older than your mother, and I started with computer back when it was the black and yellow screen and was DOS.
Awesome.
But I lost about 10 years when I had a heart condition, a breast cancer, and lost my husband of
60 dear.
Years. But the last few years, I've started in again.
Good for you.
And, yeah, I'm in good health, but now I have a problem. I use an Apple 7, and I like it really well, but I'm a grandmother to the Sunday school, and I take a welcome picture every week.
Aww.
And then keep track of the kids. And I miss my old Polaroid.
Sure.
I need something that I can take a picture and have immediately of the kids that I can keep. My heart doctor said, why don't you get an iPad 2? And she showed me hers, but it looks to me as though the picture is just on the screen.
You want an immediate printout like a Polaroid.
Yes, I want an old Polaroid back. I still use my vinyl records and my...
Good for you.
So anyway, but yes, I love... But you can't get the Polaroid film.
No, well, you know, they're starting to bring these back because the kids want these. Let me look, Lynn. I believe there are a number of very small portable photo printers. I know there are.
Uh-huh.
That you can have with you. And we're going to take a break. We have to, but we'll be back and talk about it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
So someone take a picture.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We're talking with Lynn in Los Angeles. She's the Sunday School Grandma. That's a nice title. What a great job. And one of the things she wants to do is take pictures. You have an iPhone, you said?
No, I don't. I have an Windows 7, and I have a very old-fashioned phone. As I say, technology sort of went beyond me. I listen every Saturday with the hope some of it will rub off. So far, not a lot.
Oh, yeah. You know more than you think. So do you have a camera? What do you take the pictures with now?
I don't take them now.
You don't take them now.
We used to have a Polaroid.
Got it.
But you can't get Polaroid film anymore.
Right.
And also, I learned Excel out of a book I got off of eBay, and I'd like to put my Excel on whatever this is that I get along with a picture.
So you really want a computer kind of now.
It sounds more like it.
Yeah.
Unless there is a small camera affair like the Polaroid.
Yeah, I mean, there are quite a few companies, including big printer companies like Canon, that make small portable printers designed specifically for, you know, kind of this purpose. But you need a smartphone or a digital camera.
Yes.
You take the picture, and then it prints out the picture from the camera.
Mm-hmm.
It's more elaborate, you know, and you got to carry all this stuff around.
Right.
And it will not do spreadsheets. I would leave the spreadsheets for your Windows 7 computer.
I'm going to have to replace it eventually because I've had it quite a long time.
Yeah.
And eventually something goes out and I don't want the 8. I know that. So is the iPad 2 any kind of a replacement thing or something?
Yeah, you're actually going to want to. The iPad 2 is pretty old. You're going to go probably right up to the current iPad, which is the fourth generation iPad.
Oh.
So,
this happens. You turn your back. Technology moves on without you.
An iPad is a great choice in a number of ways because it does have spreadsheets on it, so you can use it. It's not Excel because Microsoft hasn't put out Excel yet for the iPad, but it is Apple's own. It's called Numbers, and it's quite good.
Mm-hmm.
It has a camera, very good camera, and of course the little kids would love just seeing their picture on the screen. They're not they're used to that.
But what I want to do is be able to look at it when they're in their class. So when they come back out of class, I can greet them by name. I have a terrible time remembering a half a dozen new names. Or the kids all tend to look alike.
Oh, that's a good idea. So the chat room's telling me, and this is on Amazon for about $100. It's called the Fujifilm Instax, Instax. It's a Polaroid, effectively. It's an instant film camera, but Fuji still makes the film, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Instax.
Instax. It's on Amazon. And let's see, the film cartridge is $12.49.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see how many images you get from that, because that will tell you how much per image it's going to be. And they don't really say.
Probably 6.
Yeah, you know, it's typical to be around 10 pictures, it says.
Yeah, no, that's not
cent. So it's about a little more than a buck a print.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cute little camera.
And I'd have it instantly.
You'd have it. It comes just like a Polaroid. It comes right out of it. Yep. And the reviews are very good on this, by the way.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm old friends with Amazon. So.
Well, if you are, just search for Instax.
Yes.
The Mini 25.
Mini 25.
And at $100, it sounds pretty good.
Yes, that does. That sounds about what I have in mind.
Well, good. I'm glad we could talk, Lynn. And I think it's wonderful that you're getting back into it.
Well, thank you very much. I hope it's not a waste of time. I hope
it's not. It's wonderful.
And really do some good with it.
Yeah, and I do think you should get an iPad. My mom has and loves her iPad. She has computers. She has a desktop, a laptop. All she uses is the iPad. She just loves it. I gave her the third generation iPad.
Third,
yeah, and that's fine. And I think they sell those for a little bit less, and that'd be fine for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I have to go to another room, of course, to use the computer. My daughter thinks it would be awfully nice if I could have something out in the living room
exactly.
with me.
Exactly.
So anyway.
Get an iPad. I think you'd be so happy, Lynn.
Thank you so very much, Leo.
My pleasure.
I enjoy your program tremendously, even though you might as well be speaking Greek. But
yeah, sometimes I think some stations think this is foreign language programming.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm surprised eventually you mentioned something. I think, oh, yes, he mentioned that before, and I know what it is.
Good. We're making progress. You see?
Yes.
It is sinking in.
Yes.
Thanks,
Lynn. Thank you very much.
It's so nice to know you're listening. I really appreciate the call. And I absolutely think that there's no age limit for getting into computing and technology, but I do think that they have done such a nice job with the iPad. Now, if your eyesight's not great, the iPad does have some accessibility features that can make the text a little bit bigger, but it is, you know, unfortunately, kids design this stuff. And so a lot of times, especially on these high-resolution products like the iPhone and the iPad, everything's so teeny-weeny-teeny. Sometimes it's a little hard to see. But my mom is doing great. She's a little younger than you. She's 80. She has a cataract in one eye, but she's still able to use the iPad quite well. Polaroid still makes some instant digital cameras. Walmart has the Z2300 for $160, according to our chat room. But I do think, and this is why I like Amazon, when you read the reviews, the Fujifilm Instax has just a bunch, 85 five-star reviews, to me tells me that this is the one to get. You know, I trust people who are actually using this out in the field the best. They know. And, you know, you got to understand, it's not cheap. It's a little more than a buck a print. But you have it right then, which I think is cool. And Fuji's still making the film. They're big in the film business, so that's a good sign, too. 888-ASK-LEO, 888-827-5536. I haven't mentioned, we have a great website where everything I talk about, the links, the images, everything is stored forever or until the internet dies. And who knows when that'll be. That is at techguylabs.com. Techguylabs.com. And you can go there and join the chat room, which I mention all the time because they're always giving me great information. You can also see answers to previous questions and anything that I talk about on this show, thanks to James DeRuvo, who's writing this down. And afterwards, Josh Windisch then puts up the video and audio of each question and answer pair. And your comments are appreciated there, too, if you've got a better idea. Somebody in the chat room is also mentioning the LG Pocket Photo mobile portable printer for Android phones. Now, I've played with this, and it's very cool, but it's $150, and you'd still need a smartphone. But for people with a smartphone, this is an interesting product as well. You just they sell it in Japan. I guess this is on eBay, so because you're going to have to get it from eBay because I don't think they're selling it in the U.S. yet. But I played with this at CES this year. It's kind of cool. You just tap your phone to it, pairs it up, and prints it out. Obviously, there's still a market for prints. Prints are not dead. So there you go. Thank you, chat room, for all your help. 8888-ASK-LEO. The chat room is there at the Tech Guy Labs site, as well as everything we talk about. And Heather Heyman is on the line, ready to answer your call at 888-827-5536. We'll have more of your calls in just a few minutes. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Our show today brought to you by the good folks at Gazelle. Gazelle is the place to go if you've got old stuff. And it's... I should show you my drawer. There's just all these stuff. Phones and computers and laptops and all this stuff. If you go to G-A-Z-E-L-L-E.com, you'll find out you can get cash for that old stuff. And it couldn't be easier. Gazelle.com. Now, let's pick something. What do you got that you want to... Maybe you're ready for a new iPad. You got the iPad 2. That's what she was talking about, right? The second generation iPad 2. Let's see how much that's worth. $200. That's an old one, too. So here's the deal. Now I'm getting $200 for that. If you've got anything worth more than a buck, they'll pay the postage. You want to get the new iPhone? You got the old 4S? See how much that's worth here. $215. Pop that in the box. You see how it quite quickly adds up. Now, what happens is you're going to send it in the box. They pay the postage. Got an old iPod. Got a Nexus or Asus or Microsoft tablet. What? They're taking the RTs, huh? Let's sell a Surface RT. I got one. I got an RT for you. Is that in good condition? How much? Got all the covers? Yeah. What is that worth? The iPhone's almost worth more. $250. Anyway, throw it all in there. Gazelle will send you a check, or for instant payments, you can get PayPal. My suggestion, though, is get the Amazon gift card because they'll bump it up by 5%, kind of a little extra. In fact, right now, for a limited time, you get $10 extra for your iPhone 4S. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E. No reason to have that gadget sit in your drawer gathering dust when you can Gazelle it. No wonder. What is it? I saw the stat here. 500,000 customers over the last couple of years with payments of over $100 million. That's a good deal. Gazelle.com. Hey, look who's here, Mr. Johnny Jett. Hey, Johnny, how are you? Our travel expert, our guru. He helps you get better travel deals thanks to the online world. Where are you today, Johnny?
You know, I pointed it out the window, but I don't think you're going to guess. So,
is it Toronto, Canada?
I'm in Beverly Hills at the Montage Hotel.
Ooh, just the name sounds expensive. The Montage.
Yeah, a lot of celebrities come here. My wife's on assignment for her magazine, so I'm tagging along this time.
Is it nice?
Oh, man.
It's
plus.
How nice. How nice.
She won't let me show this side of the room because she's working in bed.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, please don't. Yeah. So Johnny does a great website. If you've not been to johnnyjet.com, I invite you to visit, and you will get lots of travel ideas, travel deals. He's got airfare finders and so forth on there. Your article about Monaco, your visit to Monaco a couple of weeks ago, is now up with pictures.
I actually have to update the homepage. I've been doing a lot more.
Good.
I actually forgot to update the slider, so thanks for reminding me. If you scroll down, there's all the news stories.
And don't forget, Johnny Jet on Twitter is a great place to get the latest as well.
Actually, I sent out a special newsletter last night or yesterday.
What about?
There was a Europe sale from San Francisco, New York, Chicago on SAS. So for late summer and early fall. So I think it's April 16th. I don't have the numbers in front of me till like October. And it was reasonable prices, $900 from San Francisco to Europe, round trip, including all taxes.
I'm a fan of SAS. It's one of my favorite airlines. I really like it. You know, serve meals, they put on little chef's hats. And they have cooks or something. I don't understand it.
And they just started the service from San Francisco.
Awesome.
A month ago.
Oh, I might. I should go to Copenhagen for the summer. Why not?
I'm part Danish.
I know. I could tell. You look Danish.
I'm Danish and Italian.
Yeah. All right. So the more information on your Twitter feed, is that the?
You know what? I think I did tweet it out last night. It was a special newsletter that we send out. I mean, whenever
How
I
do
find
I get
deal.
That? Can I get that? I'm sure I can sign up on your website.
Yeah,
right?
Just go to my website and there's a newsletter box. But you gotta click the travel deals as well.
So you have a daily travel tip or travel deals.
And I haven't done the daily travel tip yet.
You're going to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
But I've been working on we have a weekly newsletter that I've been doing for 15 years.
I just signed up.
I just started the deals one a few months ago. We already have 6,000 followers, sign-ups on that one.
I have just signed up. Oh, I love that. So what else? What do you want to talk about today?
So, I got a few things to talk about.
Go ahead.
So one thing, by the way, American, I don't know if you saw the news yesterday, that I think I broke it a few months ago. I was in the airport and I noticed that they were boarding passengers without carry-on. Well, yesterday, the American across the board, if you do not have a lot of carry-ons, just one small carry-on that does not need to go in the overhead bin, you can board second after group one.
That's great. So you'd put it under the seat, but you can't put it in the bin.
Can't put it in the bin. But Americans kind of biting themselves, I think, because they're saying, well, if you bring your bag to the gate, we will check it for free. So they really want to make money. So they want you to
so
check
who's
it
gonna, Yeah, who's going to pay the $50 or whatever it is to check? What is it, $25 a bag, right?
$25 for the first bag, $35 for the second.
Who's going to do that? Just bring it to the gate.
Bring it to the gate. So this might change.
Yeah.
I think it might change. But just want to let you guys know about that. Also, I was reading, a guy just wrote a book who used to work at at the front desk of a hotel for 20 years, and he wrote all these secrets. And I was looking on some website, I think from Yahoo, where he put in his 10 hotel secrets, and some of them are pretty interesting. And one of them, which I had known about but wasn't really sure about doing, is, if you slip the guy behind the desk a $20 bill, they will find you a special room.
Really?
And that's one of the tips, and I'll tweet it out.
There's like always... That's like the old line, there's no rooms here, sir. Well, if the president came, would there be a room? Well, of course. Well, give me that room. There's always an extra room.
Well, not just the extra room. It's for a better room.
So
in this article, it says all rooms are created equal. He goes, that's bull. He goes, there's always a corner room. There's always a room with a bigger flat screen.
Right. And 20's enough, huh? You don't have to give him 100. Just give him 20.
Yeah, he goes, we're authorized to upgrade people on special occasions. He goes, I consider a fresh $20 bill in my pocket a special occasion.
Or just say, the wife and I are on an anniversary. And then as you're saying that, you sneakily just slide the 20 across.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of ways you can upgrade. And also I hear the same about bellmen, especially in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you're having a bellman... bring you to the room, you can slide him a 20. Say, by the way, can you get me a better room?
The bellman will do that?
They're all friends with the front desk.
Sure. They know them.
So you can just say, hey, can you help me out? You show them the money. I don't know why I'm telling you this, because the hotels are going to kill me. So yeah, you didn't hear it from me. But so I got a couple more things. One is there's a website and an app called UmbrellaToday.com. Have you heard of it?
No. What is it? UmbrellaToday.com.
So it's probably the most simplest website or app you've ever seen. The app is $1.99, but the website's free, so you didn't even really need the app. But what you do is you just put in your location, and it will tell you if you need an umbrella, yes or no. And what I like about it...
That's pretty simple.
It's so simple. But what I like about it is you can sign up and put your email in there. So, and I live in Los Angeles, so it rarely rains here, but... Once in a while, I get an email saying, you need an umbrella today.
You can have a text message, too. I'll have it send me a text message. That's cool.
So I like it, because I'm usually overseas. I'm like, really? It's raining in L.A. today? Because when it rains in L.A., it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Especially in the summertime or the springtime, late spring. So I like that. I like that website. And that I haven't used the app, but I just was researching it.
Yeah, the app seems a little...
It's $1.99. You don't need it. You go to the website.
And I guess if you want to support them, they say this too. They say SMS is expensive. We use a free method that's very slow. You may not get the umbrella alert for as long as 12 hours. Well, a lot of good that's going to do me. It rained yesterday. Bring an umbrella. Still, that's cool. Umbrella today. And by the way, I don't need one today. Let me put in your Beverly Hills address, see if you're going to need it.
You definitely don't need one in Beverly Hills.
It never rains in Beverly Hills.
And then I got an email from one of your readers asking me, when is the best time to purchase an airline ticket?
Now, I want to know this, too, because so the airline tickets don't go on sale till exactly 6 months before the flight, right?
No.
No more than?
330 days.
330, whatever that is. That's close. 330 days. Okay, 300, that's 10 months. Okay, 330 days before they go on sale. So the question is, when's the best time for the lowest price? One day before the flight, 330 days before the flight, or somewhere in between?
Well,
if you say it all depends, I'm going to hang up on you right now.
It does fluctuate, but usually the best time is 4 to 6 weeks before.
This is good to know. Okay.
You don't want to book too early, because if you book too early, there's no incentive for the airlines to put these on sale.
Right.
Except if you're going for a holiday like Thanksgiving, you know,
they're going to sell out anyway. They're going to sell out.
So book early, especially if you're a school teacher or whatever, and you cannot take these dates off if you cannot go earlier. So for holidays, you want to book as early as you possibly can. But, you know, I usually don't book tickets between 4 and 6 weeks, because that's that's when this airline starts saying, hey, you know, I'm not sure if we're going to be able to fill these planes. Let's put a little discount on there.
Right.
And again, we talked about it before. You need to sign up to different newsletters and Twitter followers to find out when the sales are going on. And that's one reason why I send out those travel deals newsletters, because, you know, all of a sudden they'll just pop up. And usually on Tuesdays, the sales pop up. So almost every Tuesday, you can guarantee your Twitter feed to be filled with travel deals, especially like Southwest, Virgin America, JetBlue. They love to do travel deals those days.
So you can find out more, johnnyjet.com. We're working on a show for Johnny. We want to do a technology travel show with Johnny J. Thank you, Johnny. You're the best.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Bye-bye. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888-ASK. Leo, that's the number if you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, you want to know some tech stuff. Let's go to Metuchen, New Jersey. Bob is on the line. Hi, Bob. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. Bob, how are you?
Nice. Thanks for taking being patient.
Yeah, I know. I cut the grass, took a shower.
I really appreciate your patience.
I met you many, many years ago over in Cupertino at the mall when you and Kate Patella were doing the screensavers, and she looked up and says, who should I make this out to? And I said, Flob. And she goes, Leo, it's Flob.
And ever since, did she actually make it out to Flob?
Yeah, exactly. And I had chatted with you back then, but it's been...
I remember. You know, I brought my little daughter on that event, because that was many moons ago. She was probably four or five. And she thought it was the strangest thing that people wanted autographs. And then they started asking her for autographs, which was cute. I do remember Flob.
Yeah, that's when we were young and foolish.
Yes.
Anyway, I do a lot of what you do, but I'm like in my own little world here, and I support tons and tons of people. And my biggest issue is that it's difficult to recommend and make recommendations to clients for what they should buy, especially with the demise of what's happening with Dell, because, you know, they had good support. They had good support contracts. So long story short, I referred a client to get a new Acer V5 571PG laptop. Touchscreen, Windows 8, everything's nice. Well, it's been 31 days now, and he has consistent issues with dropping out of Wi-Fi. And all the forums on Acer and everywhere else you talk about, everybody's got the same problem. And you don't get any kind of in-house support. You got to mail it in, and they say, well, we're going to make sure you back up your data, make sure this... So the bottom line is, you know, there's no bringing it back to where you bought it, and either got to sell it on eBay, and what do you buy today? What do you tell a customer to get when they have a small business and you don't have issue? You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, and the problem with Acer, and this is true of a lot of companies right now, is that they're a Chinese company, a Taiwanese company, and really, you know, unless you buy third-party support, which might be a solution. I don't know what to do. I have an Acer Ultrabook, the S7, which I love, hasn't had any trouble with Wi-Fi. And understandably, these companies, unless they hear from a huge number of people, are going to assume it's something you're doing or something with your network. Perhaps your client's Wi-Fi is a little weaker than normal, or they're a little farther away from the access point. And so it's very difficult for them to say, well, yeah, it's our fault, unless everybody... And that means a lot of people, they probably sold hundreds of thousands of this, complains. So, you were right. I used to say go to Dell. They have the best support, but that hasn't been that way in a long time.
I know.
At least they're local. I would say buy it from a local retailer who will back it is the best you can do.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. So I've given a few options. I mean, you know, we did all the tests. Every device in the network works, so all the routers work.
Yeah.
It's just that one machine, so we've dedicated, you know, one.
Sounds like a hardware problem with that machine. Sometimes they design laptops, you know, there's such a tight tolerance in there, it's so squished together that they don't take fully into account how it will attenuate the Wi-Fi signal. You know, it's kind of like the iPhone 4. Remember, it had that antenna problem.
And absolutely.
It's not that it didn't work, but it wasn't as good. I presume you've updated the drivers, you updated the BIOS, you've done everything.
All that.
Yeah,
everything imaginable.
It's probably a hardware problem.
I do what you do.
Yeah.
I'm your clone, but on the East Coast. You know?
So it's probably a hardware problem, and I think this is one of the reasons PC sales are dwindling, among others, is that people are, you know, they're buying... iPads, iPads.
Yeah, I agree. And not to change gears and shift real fast, and I don't want to get yelled at from Heather, but real quick, Drobo 5D or what?
She's shaking her finger at you right now.
I know. Heather, how's the weather? I'm sorry.
5D, well, depends what you're using it for. Do you want?
My iMac, my 27-inch, and I got my existing 5 FS, but it's maxed out. I've got 5.3 terabytes in it, and I got to back that up.
Right.
So I want something with more speed, because I'm not happy with the gigabit Ethernet speed, even with the jumbo packets on the iMac. You know?
Right. And it's Thunderbolt, which is nice. Are you going to use Thunderbolt?
Yeah, I have a couple of external Seagate drives with the Thunderbolt, and, you know, I'm happy with it.
Well, Thunderbolt is by far the fastest way you could do it. So, the 5D is a good choice. Or any Thunderbolt drive, there aren't that many to choose from.
And that'll work with all of the, what do you call that, you know, where you can be able to access it, just share the drive and access
it. Yeah, Drobo's good at that, yeah.
All right, well, thank you for your time, Leo.
My pleasure. Yeah, if you don't want to go with network attached storage and it's not fast enough for him, then you need a direct connect drive, a USB drive, or better yet, if you have Thunderbolt, a Thunderbolt drive would be a lot faster. But it is pricey. You pay the price for that. Matt, San Diego, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Leo. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Hey, I love the show, and you've got a great voice.
Oh, aren't you? Not singing, but speaking. Every time I sing, they say, don't sing. Just don't sing.
Same here.
What can I do for you?
Well, hey, so unfortunately, I got a little bit of a sad topic, but at the same time, maybe we can use a little technology to help out in this situation. My dad, who's a very smart guy, never watched TV, only would read books. He had a stroke, a pretty major stroke, and now is pretty incapacitated. Oh. But he lives in Charleston, and I live in San Diego, and he refuses to leave the nursing home. So I'm very worried about his stimulation and how much. But
can he listen to books?
We do do that. We do audio books.
Audio books would be just fabulous for that.
He loves audiobooks. He loves,
You know what I did? I bought my mom one of the big iPod Classics, 160 gigabytes, and I bought her an account on Audible, and I put a bunch of books on it, and I sent it to her. She didn't have to know about anything, and she listens, and she loves it, and she's read many of those books. I always have to put more books on there all the time for her.
That's awesome.
It's a real, I mean, and then you don't have to read them out loud. I'm sure it's wonderful when you do. Because he likes the contact, but he can listen to other people read too.
Well, he does, one thing is he will watch an educational program if we're kind of there watching it with him.
Okay,
but that's where I wanted to talk to you about was I know there's like things like go to my PC and the Roku, and there's a flat screen in his room, and I wanted to reach out to him and say, hey, you know, there's a show on Ancient Egypt. Hey, there's a show on Oceans or Space or something like that, and we could maybe watch it together. But there's like I don't know the out of the box technology that I could kind of control his TV in his room for him. Is there something
that's an interesting question. Here's one thought. This is kind of wacky. Logitech makes a Skype camera that doesn't need a computer. It just goes on top of the TV. And it plugs into the TV. So he would see you on his TV, and you would see him. You'd be making Skype calls. You, of course, you're going to use your computer or your laptop or your tablet or whatever to make the call. But mm-hmm. he doesn't need anything. It just sits on top of the TV, right?
And, that's awesome.
Yeah. And we tried it. It works really well. So that's one way to visit with him. But then you could just point the camera at a TV show and watch it with him. You'd be like you were sitting right next to him. How about that? What do you think? Do you think that... It's about $150, the Logitech TV cam. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Google Glass. That's what Google Glass does. Our show today brought to you by Stamps.com. I want to save you some time. I don't want you to go to the post office anymore. Nope. You don't need to anymore. You don't have to drive over there. You don't have to find parking. Because you have stamps, hot and cold running stamps, mostly cold, coming out of your computer and your printer with Stamps.com. It's postage on demand, and I love it. Stamps.com will actually help you choose the right class. You can print postage for any class of postage. You can print right on the envelope for first class, but you can also print packages, you know, mailing labels for packages. You can print stamps. They actually have, I guess they're Avery labels. This is what we use. Whenever I need stamps, I come into the office. I say, Frederick, can you print me out a sheet of stamps? I don't go to the post office. And she prints me stamps. You can have your logo on it. It's amazing. Stamps.com. Print postage right from your printer, your computer, the instant you need it for any class of mail. In fact, they'll send you a USB scale that'll automatically calculate exactly the right postage. No more, you know, postage due. That's kind of embarrassing for your business. Now, look, this isn't for your Christmas card list. This is for somebody who mails something every day. You know, whether you're shipping, maybe you're an Etsy artist or an eBay seller. It's perfect for that. It actually understands those websites, and it'll pull the recipient's address from the website. If it's international mail, fill out all the forms. Take care of your mailing and shipping whenever you need to, 24/7, without going to the post office, right from your desk. And the mail carrier comes to you, right? In fact, you can schedule a free pickup anytime with the post office. They've got discounts you can't get at the post office. You know, long-term leases. No meter. You don't need a postage meter. In fact, postage meter ink, I didn't know this. As expensive as inkjet printer ink is, postage meter ink is 100 times more expensive. It's such, I don't want to say scam, but, you know, it's it's old-fashioned. It's the old way. You don't need your printer, your computer. It is just a great deal. Stamps.com. You could try it free right now. Visit Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click the microphone on the homepage there and type in our offer code, TECHGUY, two words. Stamps.com, offer code TECHGUY. That $80 value on the front page there turns into a $110 bonus offer. It includes a month of Stamps.com, that scale, that USB scale, supplies kit, so you can just see what it's like to print the stamps, things like that. Stamps.com. Use our offer code TECHGUY. You'll love it. You'll love it. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy, and it's time to talk about computers and the internet and cell phones and camcorders and home theater and all that jazz, the things we talk about each and every week on the show. 8888-ASK-LEO is the phone number, 888-827-5536. 8888-ASK-LEO. If you've got a question, a comment, a suggestion, I'm surprised nobody's called and wanted to talk about the proposed internet sales tax. It's a little complicated right now. You know, different states have different sales taxes. Here in California, Amazon, for instance, will start collecting sales tax, I think, on the first of the year. They made a deal with the state of California. On the other hand, in other states, there's no sales tax at all. A little confusing for online retailers. And I think it's one of the reasons that we've been slow to force internet sales tax. The other was, of course, that people wanted to foster the success of the internet. But rightfully, I think, brick-and-mortar stores, you know, that guy down the street who's selling TVs and, you know, toilet paper says, hey, I have to charge sales tax. It isn't fair if Amazon or some other online retailer doesn't. The law's always been if you don't do business in a state, you don't have to collect tax in that state. And, of course, the state of California is quick to point out that, well, what do you mean do business? The current move is to make a national internet sales tax. Amazon does not really want a sales tax at all. They've understood that going state by state, they're going to have to at some point, and so they've been making deals. You know, if they set up a warehouse in your state, it's kind of hard for them to say, we don't do business in the state. There is no Amazon warehouse here in California because they have one next door in Nevada, so they don't, to get them off the hook. But the Marketplace Fairness Act, which seems likely to pass the Senate, did it pass already? I can't find that story. I'm looking for it. Encouraging signs in the House, according to this story from a couple of weeks back. I think it did pass the Senate, didn't it? Slate. The idea is, well, if there's a national sales tax, then the state like Illinois is going to lose the money. But at least it's easier for somebody like Amazon. And that this is part of the problem is even in California, there are multiple different sales taxes. Every jurisdiction has a different sales tax. Not a big deal for a retailer. You just figure out the tax for where you are, but a lot harder for an internet company. I have to say I'm a little sympathetic to the brick-and-mortar stores, the mom-and-pop stores. We see them failing right and left because they can't compete with internet stores. And one of the reasons they have a hard time competing is this sales tax issue. So I'm kind of a fan. I think I don't know if there should be a national sales tax. I don't want to pay sales tax, but you know what? It isn't fair that Amazon doesn't collect sales tax. They get a lot more business because where I am, that means it's almost 9% cheaper. Current state of the Marketplace Fairness Act, it's in the House, and we'll see. I bet the House does not pass it, but we shall see what happens. I guess it's kind of a... I'm trying to figure out if there's a... It's, I guess it says if you're in a state, if you're selling to people in the state, whether you do business in the state, whether you have a warehouse in the state, you still have to pay sales tax. It's estimated the state of Illinois, for instance, loses $169 million a year to internet sales. In states where the state collects taxes, that's almost all of them, the state could choose to require you to pay that tax on all purchases, offline and online. You know, you're supposed to. In California, I don't know how this is working, but in California, you still owe the tax. It's just that Amazon doesn't collect it. You're supposed to, at the end of the year, on your tax return. Did you do this April 15th? On for those of you living in California, you're supposed to say, yeah, by the way, I bought all this stuff, and here's the sales tax. Call it use tax. Is that what they call it? So it's not a national sales tax. It's a national law to require that the state sales taxes be collected. I think that's fair. I really do. What do you think? 8888 Ask Leo. 888-827-5536. That'll get the phones going. Let's go. Who should I talk to next? You have a better handle.
Yeah, John Heather. Is calling in about the very thing you're discussing. Ah, and he's calling from where our engineer Nathan is.
Ah, Sherman Oaks. Just down the road a piece. Hi, John. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Yeah, I do hear your point, and I hear the discrepancy often between brick and mortar having to charge it where online retailers don't. But my understanding is with accountants, when we do our taxes at the end of the year, we're supposed to tell the state if we've purchased any goods online. And
yeah.
We do owe the tax.
Yes, you don't get off the hook.
Exactly. But whether we pay it or not is up to us, but it's definitely something we owe if we've made purchases online, even if we're not initially charged it by those online retailers.
Right. So do you do that?
Well, yes.
Now, remember, I don't know who you are. You're completely anonymous. You're just some guy named John and maybe in Sherman Oaks.
Most of the places where we've gotten, I'm starting to see online retailers in California charging the tax anyway. But I do prefer to try and support local people anyhow, so I don't do a lot of online purchasing.
Maybe that's really what should happen, is that people should just consider the guy down the street and buy from them whenever possible.
That's the way I see it.
I think we owe that to our community. We keep these businesses alive, keep the tax in the community. Part of the problem, according to the Tax Foundation, there are 9,600 different tax jurisdictions in the United States. But I got to point out, Amazon does have computers. They could probably figure it out.
I think you're right there. But I guess the point I was just trying to clarify, you know, whether we pay the tax or not.
You owe it. You're not off the, at least in California, you're not off the hook. That's right.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah. Hey, good point. Thank you. You know, I think it's a hot button because nobody wants to spend any more money than they have to. But at the same time, I just feel like, you know, we got to, it's not inappropriate to call it a Fairness Act, Marketplace Fairness Act. For a while, it was in order to stimulate internet commerce, it was appropriate to give internet merchandisers a break. They do have to pay shipping after all, right? There is a cost to selling on the internet that brick and mortar doesn't have. You know, I feel for the guy down the street. I really do. Al in L.A., you're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Al.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for all your work over the years.
My pleasure. What can I do for you?
My question is about webcams, and if it may be possible to set them up so that they will only work when logged into a website that I control. So this involves a business model whereby customers use the webcam to interact with each other over the internet via my website. And now for business reasons, I would like to prevent the webcam from being used elsewhere, like Skype, for example, or Yahoo chat or something.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're installing a webcam, but you just only want them to be able to use it with your software.
Correct. So I'm thinking that once they log into my website, it will, you know, confirm that, okay, this website or this webcam is good to go. But if they try to use it, like I say, on Skype or something, it just will say, you know, can't do this.
Well, one way to do that would be to have some – this is going to take some programming – but have some software running on the client's machine that occupies the camera. You've probably seen this. Skype won't take a camera, control of a camera, if somebody else is using it. It'll say, I'm sorry, somebody's using this camera. So if your software just continues to use the camera at all times – now, your client may not like the idea that you could just turn it on. I don't know. I think this is, unfortunately, beyond my scope, because I think it's a software issue. I don't know of any programs that will do this automatically. But I think it wouldn't be so hard to make a program do that. Just say, don't give up the camera to anybody. You own this camera. I don't know. Let me think about it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We got some chat room conversation going on about that Fair Marketplace Fairness Act, boy. We have advertisers specifically for the podcast, and we're very grateful to them because they underwrite the cost of making these shows and putting them out. That's why we don't have to charge you for the podcast. And one of them is a really great company called 99 Designs. They call themselves the world's largest online graphic design marketplace. We just had an experience with them. We just had a great experience. We created a custom t-shirt. What we did is we went on 99 Designs. We asked people to submit designs. We got a lot of great ones. Not a surprise, they have more than 210,000 graphic designers available worldwide to work on your project. We got those designs. We looked at them. We actually asked our audience to vote. We picked one, and now we're making a T-shirt out of it. And all of this cost us $199. 99 Designs is very affordable. Logo design starts at $299. Web design starts at $599. If you're doing landing pages or Facebook cover design, banner ads, infographics, they start at $199. These designers are good, too, by the way. Really, really good. If you're doing flyers or menus or labels or greeting cards, that starts at $199. T-shirts, $199. They even do mobile app design. That's our next project. It starts at $599. And 99 Designs doesn't just put you two together. They have world-class customer support 24/7 over the phone, email, and chat. You can get a complimentary design consultation with their San Francisco-based design team. And, of course, there's a $100% money-back guarantee. I want you to try it. If you use 99designs.com/techguy, you'll get a $99 power pack of services for free. That is nice. Let me just 99designs.com/techguy. They will... The Power Pack gives you more designer time and attention. They'll bold, highlight, and feature your design project in 99 Designs Marketplace. You get twice as many designs. This is good. Get a free upgrade. Or call 800-513-1678. That's a special number just for our listeners. 800-513-1678. 99designs.com/techguy. What a great marketplace for designers and people who need help, like me. I'm aesthetically challenged. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888, Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Our next call literally comes from down the road. Derek in Petaluma. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Leo. First
happy American call. Graffiti days.
Yeah, going down later to take some pictures.
Oh, it's so fun. They have, you know, American Graffiti, the Lucas movie was shot, partially shot, in this town, and so every year we have a little festival. They even reenact that scene in the middle of the night where the kids crept up behind the police car and put a chain on the axle, and then the car pulls out.
Drag races this year.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, boy. Right down the main street, huh?
Yeah, about 4 in the morning, I think it is.
It's fun. A lot of classic cars, too.
To let you know, a really great experience.
Okay.
I was cruising Facebook and saw a book on Audible by George Carlin that I decided I wanted to join Audible. So, due to your recommendation.
I'm a big fan of Audible.
You know, I went on to Audible, hit the chat button, spent about 10 minutes on there with a customer support person, and with customer support going down the tubes, this was a really new experience. She was fantastic. She spent about 10 minutes with me going through all my options,
wife
getting able to both use the account and all that sort of stuff. Not only that, she signed me up online, gave me the TWIT discount, and because I'm already an Amazon client, she could sign me up and get me going without me even leaving, and I left 10 minutes later with an Audible account, a download.
That's great.
And
did you get that Carlin book?
Support I've ever had.
That's
and I
nice.
Do tech support for a living.
Well, you know, they're owned by Amazon. They were purchased by Amazon. And I should say a disclaimer, as you mentioned, they advertise not on this show, but on our podcasts. So we do have a financial relationship with them. But you know what? I was an Audible customer years before they ever advertised. I think they're fabulous.
No, it's just so easy to use. Yeah. And, you know, I can sit here and do my work and listen to a book at the same time.
Your work must not be too demanding.
I've never been able to sign up.
I listen in the car. I do the dishes. I walk the dog. I do at the gym. It really is good. Well, I'm glad. Thank you, Derek. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'll stop by one of these days.
Please do.
Petaluma Market often enough.
We're right across the street, and our studio's always open. You come by, you can say hi to Heather and me, and...
Okay, well, I can't recommend Audible highly enough.
Thank you.
All they have to do is go to their website, click on chat, and they'll take you right to wherever you want to go.
Yeah. I think when Amazon picked them up, that was a really good move on Amazon's part, frankly, and I think it's been good for Audible customers, too. Steve, Los Angeles, you're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Steve.
Thank you, Leo. Here's my problem. I have a PC laptop. And I had disabled my antivirus temporarily, and it became infected.
And now, that's just rotten. That just stinks.
At any rate, it didn't work properly. I tried the restore function that Windows provides, and that did not solve the problem. Ultimately, I used the manufacturer's recovery disk.
Usually, that's what you have to do.
And it did, Leo. I mean, I obviously solved the problem. But
yeah,
it
wiped your drive out, too. Yeah.
Right, but so I did not. It did not restore the programs that I had downloaded on it,
etc. Or your data. No, what a recovery disk does is it puts it back to the way it was when you got it.
All right. Now here's my question: is there a software program, free or not free, that can work with an external drive and make an exact copy of everything on my computer now, and it's perfect? Such that if it's not perfect in the future, just for routine maintenance, I can just push a button and it will return everything to normal without me having to manually say, I want this return to normal, I want that return to normal, I want my favorites, Internet Explorer return to normal, I want my contacts and Outlook return to normal. Just does it. Is there a program?
There sure is. What you're talking about is something we call an image or ghost. So what you'd love to do is exactly just as your recovery – really, that's what those recovery disks were. They were a ghost image of the way the drive was when they shipped it from the factory, which is not, by the way, a pure Windows install. There's other stuff on there. And so what I always do – and this is a part of your overall backup strategy – is I will make an image of the drive. I just used it the other day, as a matter of fact, as I want it. Now, you want to make sure you do that before you get any viruses, but as I want it, not just, the Windows install, but the apps that I want and everything.
Yeah, okay.
That's called a ghost, and there are a lot of free programs that'll do this. EaseUS.com is the one I generally recommend. They sell commercial backup software, but they also have a free image maker. There's also some paid programs, drivesnapshot.de. Clonezilla is a free open source program. It's kind of hard to use, but some people recommend that. XX Clone is free, according to somebody in the chat room. I haven't tried that one. But these are all the same thing. They're exactly what you talk about. Cloning the drive in a known state on a second drive or a partition on the first drive, and then you can bring it back from the dead. And it's really great way to go.
Everything goes back to normal. My favorites.
Yep.
I don't have to manually move programs around.
And one of the nice things about this is if you keep it on a separate drive, in fact, I would keep it on a drive that's not online, there's guaranteed no way that could be infected. So now remember, you're going to have changed stuff since you did this. So this is kind of a setup that is only a part of your overall backup plan. I would continue to back up data, but anytime you got an infection or something went wrong, you use this to get back to the way it was. And this is absolutely should be part of your overall backup strategy. Acronis makes a program called True Image that is commercial. It's very good. It's often called a ghost image because the very first software that was popular to do this was from Norton Utilities. It was called Norton Ghost. And a lot of companies, I think, still use it. It's used also to deploy computers. So think about a business where you have thousands of computers. You want them all to be the same software, line of business software and everything. Well, the IT department makes an image, which you can then much more quickly than trying to install Windows and then installing the apps, blast that image onto the computer. Every computer company that sells computers does this. That's what that system recovery disk is. I always make one, and I highly recommend making one when you get a new machine. If you don't have system recovery disks, make your own. And then if you should, it's probably good to have one that's like the basic install, like the way it came from the factory. But then put the software that you know you're going to want, that you're going to use day in, day out, whether it's Microsoft Office, an antivirus, whatever it is that you don't use all the time, and then make a second image. These aren't very big, so you can keep a couple. That second image is the one that you're going to restore from. Highly recommend it. We used to do it on the TV show. I used to do a live television show on Tech TV called The Screensavers, and computers go down. If you're on live TV, that could be a disaster. But every computer, when we spec'd it out, when we built the computer for the TV shows, everyone would have two drives inside it. The first drive would be the one we'd work on. The second drive would have an image, one of these ghost images on it. And literally, if a computer went down, we could take a commercial break, and before we were back, we could have that computer back to the way it was. That's the power of this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Big announcement, apparently, for Yahoo. This is the announcement season. We've got Google's announcements this week at their developers conference, Apple's developers conference in a couple of weeks. Almost certainly Apple will announce new MacBook Airs, if not other MacBooks, because there's a new Intel chipset, which comes out the 1st of June, and Apple usually jumps right on that bandwagon. But Yahoo has an announcement on Monday. They didn't say what it was. The early betting is that it's a Flickr announcement, that Yahoo is going to make some big updates to Flickr, their photo sharing site, which we love. A lot of pros use. Flickr was ignored for many years by Yahoo and lost not only its original founders who left the company, but I think a lot of users kind of gave up. But with the new management at Yahoo, Marissa Meyer, formerly of Google, the smart money is on that she's going to update Flickr. Apparently, she's also in the market for Tumblr. Do you know about Tumblr? All the kids do. TUMBLR.com. It's a, I guess it's a blogging site, but it tends towards photos, photo heavy. It's a place where you can easily, instead of writing long blog pieces, post pictures, quotes, short notes, that kind of thing. It's free and very popular. Reportedly, Yahoo's bid $1.1 billion for this site, started by a guy named David Karp, who was a high school dropout. He's still only in his early 20s, I think. Young guy, who will be quite wealthy. Oddly, according to one tech journalist, Tumblr says that's not enough. $1.1 billion, no. And Microsoft and Facebook are also in the running. And maybe he can get a bidding war going. Maybe it's worth more than $1.1 billion with a B. Wow. Wow. There is kind of an issue. There's a lot of adult content on Tumblr. I just got a double take from Heather. Yes. I don't, you know, if you just, there's quite a bit of it. It's almost hard not to run into it. Now, interestingly, there's also a lot of relatively adult content, a lot of nudes anyway, on Flickr. It's protected. You know, you have to say, yes, I'm over 18 and I want to see that. But if you know, if you're doing a site for photography, that's going to happen. Photographers like taking pictures of naked people, apparently. So the thinking is that perhaps Flickr and, Yahoo and Tumblr will get along. But, it you know, Tumblr... we'll see. We shall see. There are those who think Tumblr is not much more than a covert porn site. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. Our next call is from Corey in San Bernardino. Hi, Corey. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, Corey.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, I'm just calling about the old Amazon comment that you made about the... they're not doing business in California.
Yeah.
Well, but actually they are, because I do construction as a trade, and we just finished a huge commercial building out in San Bernardino that Amazon did move into, and let me tell you, they did not spare any expense.
They're making some money. You know, that's right. They stayed out of California for quite some time. Then this, you may remember last year, the California state legislature said, Amazon, you are doing business here, so you are going to pay tax. Amazon pulled the plug on its Amazon Affiliates program, which was the only way they felt they were doing. This was before they entered that building you just finished. They worked out a deal. And the California, I believe, starts collecting tax from, or Amazon starts collecting tax for California, I think, at the beginning of the year. And as a result, they can now build these buildings and go in. And they really want to. It's part of the deal, the negotiation they made with the state of California. Nice to know they've got a nice place in San Bernardino. That's great.
Yeah, actually, they're building a second one because they can't move product fast enough.
Wow.
Through UPS and FedEx. So they're building an expansion right next to it so they can move material to there, so they can actually fill up the trucks there and get it out, because... UPS and FedEx can't keep up.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's interesting. Got a lot of money to play with.
They do. They're doing all right. Although, if you look at their profits, it's not such a profitable business, mostly because Jeff Bezos is willing to spend all the money he makes to do things like build massive distribution facilities. For a long time, if you bought something in California from Amazon, it would come to you from Arizona. But now they'll be able to ship it directly from California. I guess they started collecting a few months ago. I'm trying to figure out when they... It's funny, I haven't been paying attention. It's a battle between these guys. Yeah, It's not clear. This is a big business for Amazon and a big business for the state of California. Most states, I think 45 out of the 50 states, do collect tax from Amazon, or Amazon collects tax for them. So it's just a matter of time. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. Let's get another call on here. Bill in Buena Park, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Leo. I just wanted to put in my two cents about this sales tax.
Yeah, what do you think?
This is a real quagmire, and here's why. I'm sensitive to your opinion about the little guy down the street, but hey, the little gal down the street is Leanne, and she started a tea business, import-export, and this little gal is going to have to be able to figure out 6,500 taxing jurisdictions. And what happens at the end of the quarter when she has to remit the money? Does she have to sit down and go on to 50 different states' websites to remit the monies? I don't get that. But here, on a different point, on the shipping end of it, it's not just the cost of the shipping. What about all the packaging and the...
Good point. And the trucks to deliver it and so forth.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. But that's why we should, I think, support the person locally. We had the call about last hour from a guy who buys computers. He bought an Acer computer made in Taiwan, sold from Taiwan. And he said, well, it's not working. What do I do now? Had he bought it from somebody down the street, he'd have somebody to bring it to.
Well, I'm just saying this little Leanne is a tea business, and she sells
her tea
over the Internet.
Sure.
And so, boy, that is a big burden if she's going to have to...
Well, she has to collect California state tax.
Well, yeah, but if she has to collect and remit tax to these other states. That's a real...
That's always been the argument. I kind of don't buy it because I believe that that's what computers are for. And most of these people are doing... business through, for instance, one of our advertisers in LA, Big Commerce, Squarespace, another one of our advertisers. And when you use a commerce solution, in almost every case, they will do all of that for you. You're paying for it, but that's what computers were made to do. I agree. And it's actually 9,500 different tax jurisdictions. And you're right. It's not just collecting it. It's getting it back to the state. I'm sure that's exactly why, for a while, there was a tax moratorium for online retailers to encourage Leanne and others to start up businesses. But I think it's mature enough now, and I think we have programs that can do all this. I worry about brick and mortar, and I have to say, I look at our little town of Petaluma. There's one camera store. I wonder how they're doing, given that even I, when I buy camera stuff, I'm going to buy it on Amazon. It's easier. It's faster. There aren't any video stores anymore. They're long gone, thanks to Netflix. There are a couple of grocery stores still, because you still have to buy fresh food locally, don't you? But a lot of the kinds of stores that... there's no computer store in town. None. There's a Radio Shack. That's it. Bookstores, there's one. That's it. I worry about our small towns. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Last segment of the show. And, of course, whenever it's the end, the dregs, the bottom of the barrel, look who shows up. It's the Giz Whiz, Dick T. Bartolo, Mad Max.
Whoa,
that's so
Leo,
mean.
The introductions get better week after week.
We're scraping the bottom of the barrel once again. Mad Magazine's maddest writer for 5 decades. He's also a gadget fanatic and joins us every week. Somehow he manages... from his Disneyland studios in beautiful Manhattan.
Basically, I just never hang up.
That's the easiest way.
Yeah, 7 days a week, 24/7, I'm here. And I know one point the camera's going to come on, and I'll just start talking.
It's magical. Yeah. How you doing, Nick? It's good to see you.
I'm doing good.
Is a beautiful day in Manhattan today? I'm just curious.
It's very gloomy.
Is it?
Very gloomy, yeah. I think if you went to that website you were talking about with Johnny Jett.
The umbrella?
Yeah. Need umbrella.
Needumbrella.com. Yes. So what do you got?
Well, not only are we scraping the bottom of the barrel, yeah, but I have something to scrape the barbecue grill. Now, I know you're a grilling person. You
I
like
am.
To grill.
I
know
love
the
it.
Staff is always complaining you're grilling them night and day. But grilling at
Who
home.
Who stole the pencil? Somebody
yes,
stole my
exactly,
pencil.
Exactly. Exactly. Who took two creamers?
You only get one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So at CES, we had that with the little thing you put on your back to massage you that didn't work very well.
Yeah.
But GrillBot. I don't actually have a grill bot, but I was watching one at the National Hardware Show. So it's a little robot, three steel brushes, three separate motors.
Wait a minute.
And
a little robot to clean your
clean
grill?
Clean your grill. And it works. It's like a Roomba for the grill. So you either push light cleaning or heavy cleaning, put it down on the grill. And he goes round the grill. When he hits corners of the grill or the wall of the grill, he reverses direction. It's coming in a month or two, $99.99, under $100, which I think is a good price.
Yeah.
The guy was a real estate agent, quit his job, and put everything into developing GrillBot.
So, yeah, and I think that seems like a kind of a mistake, perhaps.
Well, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not a grilling person, but I like the fact that they know, and I didn't know this, that people like to clean their grills while it's still hot.
Yes.
And so the little grill bot has a temperature sensor in him. So you put him on the grill, and if it's too hot, he'll go, ha, 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 ha. No, an alarm will go off to say it's too hot for me at this minute. And the wire brushes are replaceable, $13. Well, he said you'll get a season of cleaning the barbecue out of one set of brushes. And AC rechargeable. So you'll get about 50 cleans out of it. And then you just recharge it with a little AC adapter. And they're at GrillBots with an S.com.
I do think it's a good idea to clean your grill, but I don't know if a robot is the most...
Well, you've been using that Roomba, and I think that was a real mistake. You have the most dust-free grill I've ever seen.
I just ball up a little tin foil and scrape away, and I'm done. Somebody said in the chat room, that's where all the flavor is.
In the balled up tin?
Yeah, that's true. No, and what you grilled last week, that's where the flavor is. Just
oh, okay, good. In. Yeah, remind me not to come to a barbecue.
At the end of the year,
house.
It's just that hot dog tastes like every steak you made all year long. It's incredible. It's incredible. How much was it?
$99.95.
All right. That ball of tin foil, about a penny and a half.
Okay. They were going to sign on to sponsor the GizWiz.
I guess not. Not anymore. No.
Okay.
Dick, what's going on at GizWiz.biz, your fabulous web page?
We have the new What the Heck Isn't, and you'll be playing for June Mad with the stuffy vest ad in that. And
yeah, I know what you were looking at. I was scrolling down the page.
Yeah. I thought it was too lowbrow.
Yeah, thank you for not doing that on the show.
Exactly,
yeah, yeah. But
exactly.
If you want to see what we're talking about, it's the number one item on GizWiz.biz. So the towel holder that I thought, the Smurf day, it's not a towel holder. It was a paint can drip stopper with a magnetic brush holder on it.
Yeah. And 9 people got it right.
Wow.
So that's pretty good.
So now you're trying to figure out what this snap bracelet thing is or whatever it is. So go to GizWiz.biz, click the What the Heck Is It contest. Now remember, there's 12 autographed Mad magazines for the right answer, 24 for the wrong answer. You be the judge where your odds are the best. I think this is a lot of fun. Clever is good. If you come up with
clever is good, yeah, and funny.
Yeah.
Funny. And silly. We're dumb.
Funny. Yeah.
Dumb is good.
That's what Mad Magazine lives in.
That, well, yeah, 50 years of dumbness.
Dumbness. Thank you, Dickie D.
Yes, sir.
And I appreciate
it. I'll go back to the bottom of the barrel.
Actually, stick around because Dick's going to do the Giz Fizz.
Yep.
He's he does a little bit of stuff after the radio show on our Twitter, on most of these same Twit Networks, twit.tv. And then every Tuesday we do the GizWiz show, which is so much fun. Let's see. I'm sure we have more calls here. Let's go to Nicole in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Nicole. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. My dad and I listen to your show all the time.
That's nice. I like that.
Bought a Dell, I know, for school this year. And it's, you know, brand new, a couple months old. And I've been having an issue where my control key is, like, registered as being engaged.
Oh.
And it's not.
So every time you type, every letter is control A, control Q, control D.
Yeah, exactly.
That's no good.
And we've done BIOS updates, driver updates.
It could just be a physical. It could be a physical thing.
It's like the key's not caught.
It's not stuck.
The keyboard. No.
Is it? You said it was a laptop.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you pried the key off of it?
Yeah, I've done the whole keyboard replacement. Like we've done everything.
And you've tried an external keyboard. That would be the way to test it. Just take a USB keyboard. Same thing.
External keyboards. Same issue.
It's probably sticky keys. So go into your control panel. And look at the accessibility control panel. There's a thing called sticky keys because, think about it, there are people who cannot type two keys at once.
Yeah.
So if you hold the shift key down for long enough or you tap it five times, it turns on sticky keys. And what that one of the sticky keys features is that the control key is pressed down. So look at the sticky keys and see if in the accessibility control panel, see if that's turned on. And that very often is the source of that particular problem, especially since you've tried an external keyboard. If the same thing happens to an external keyboard, you're right on. It's not the hardware. It's something going on with the software. You could tap the shift key five times. Be another way to get that.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I know they've screwed around with all sorts of...
Yeah, try that. See.
Functions in the...
Yeah, give that a shot. Is this your school computer?
It is. Thankfully, I also have an iPad and a very old laptop that...
Good.
How
old is it?
I've got it in August.
Oh, yeah. Well, at least it's still under warranty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I bet you it's just sticky keys. It happens to me all the time because I kind of lean on the shift key for a while, and then all of a sudden it says, oh, you've turned on sticky keys. No, I don't want sticky keys. Well, give that a try, and if that doesn't work, I don't know what to say. What grade are you in?
I just finished my freshman year of college.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. And have a great day. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows and Windows Weekly, Macintosh and MacBreak Weekly, iPad and iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.